Elizabeth Chapel, a lifelong entrepreneur who finally found my niche. After years of new ideas and jumping from business to business, I figured out how to turn a craft into a successful career. In 2016, I started a monthly subscription box for quilters. That little startup has grown into a thriving, multiple six-figure business that I am so proud of. As a published author, designer of fabrics and patterns being sold throughout the world, my favorite thing to do is to teach others how to grow a career of their dreams. Each week, you'll hear from me or from other guests who are creative entrepreneurs, so you can learn exactly what to do and what not to do to grow a career that's more rewarding and successful than you ever thought possible. If you're ready to turn your craft into a career that you love, I am so excited you're here. Welcome to the Craft to Career podcast. Welcome, listeners. I'm really excited to introduce you to this week's guest. It was such a fun deep dive into business. You will see what I mean. You will hear some things that you might be like, whoa, wait, what? I hope so. I hope that you're introduced to some things that are new for you and that can really be food for thought. So this week we have Alexis Galloway of So Sweet Academy. And Alexis, she teaches embroidery. She helps people who want to start a business as an embroiderer. And yes, that word is tricky to say, embroiderer. But it was so fun chatting with her. Before we dive in, before you meet Alexis, I'm going to read a review. This is a great time for you to pause, to go leave a review yourself. If you leave your name, you know, your Instagram name or your business name, I will give you a shout out if I read your review. And just know that your review can really help another entrepreneur to find the podcast. So you could make the difference for another entrepreneur. This review says, "Makes me feel like I can do this. The Craft to Career podcast is informative and encouraging. I listen every week and like the Friday releases. I work a 9-to-5 and listen on my way to work. TGIF because I can take the new ideas and get to work on my business when my enthusiasm peaks after the podcast. It's truly something I look forward to weekly." So thank you. And it says their name is I Love Quilts. So thank you so much. And I love that TGIF. That's great. Yes, it's fun to have this podcast come out at the beginning of the weekend. We can celebrate, you know, the end of a week, start of a weekend. And I love that this is empowering and gives you ideas. So thank you so, so much for taking the time to leave that review. Now let's jump in and I will introduce you to Alexis Galloway. Alexis, welcome. I am so excited to have you here. For our listeners, can you just kind of briefly introduce, we'll go into more detail what your business is and what you do, but can you kind of share who you are in this crafty community space?
Yeah, so I'm Alexis. Well, Alexis Galloway, if you kind of want to know the formal name. And I'm an embroiderer. I love all things embroidery, and I've been doing it for quite a while. So that's the best description, the easiest and fastest description of me.
Nice. Okay. So just for clarity for me and for our listeners, what you do as an embroiderer, is this like the main source of income? It's your only job? Is it supporting your household? Is this like, it's not just, oh, it could be a fun source of income, but like this is a necessary thing?
Yeah. So it's my main focus. It's not the thing I started with in life. I had a whole nother career before this, but this right now is my entire life. Teaching embroidery. I have an academy. I'm an educator. So it's really what sustains me and what just feeds my soul.
Awesome. And also, we had kind of chatted a little before we started this, but can you share with the listeners what your main pillars are? And by pillars, I mean the things that you offer that are bringing you income.
So I have my academy, in which it's about to transform. And that's part of the reason why I'm here with questions for you today. But I have So Sweet Academy. I have my planner, which is called My Pretty Perfect Planner. It's an embroidery planner that I created several years ago. I also am a brother educator. Then I do things from time to time, like it's called a ship and stitch. That's where I send them all the supplies and we hop on Zoom at the same time and we stitch out and then we just, you know, we hang out, we have fun, And other than that, I go live every Sunday at 5 o'clock for a segment called So Sweet Sunday. So those are my main things. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but that's the main.
If you're like me, you're like, oh, there's all these other things too I forgot about. But yeah, you do a lot. Mm-hmm. So on Sunday, where do you go live? Is that your own platform? Is it somewhere else?
So I go live on my personal Facebook business page, which is So Sweet Academy. And then I share it into my Instagram. Nope, not my Instagram. I share it to YouTube. And then I have a couple of other embroidery friends that let me share into their group. Sheila of Baby Moon, she lets me share into hers. Tina Foy of My Chaotic Embroidery. And those are my main two that for the longest have just let me really come into their community and hang out with their followers every Sunday.
Nice. So that's cool. So let's talk about the reason you applied for this coaching call through the podcast was mostly because of your academy and it's transforming. Is that right?
Yes. So the academy, it started off as like the overall name, but I want to have a course, which I thought I had a course, but it started to feel like just a catalog or a library of tutorials. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not the best for a beginner to get in and be able to see, you know, start to finish what the steps are.
Yeah. So with the academy, what questions do you have about it?
So when it comes to the academy and then, you know, branching off and having a separate course, I don't know. You know, you hear all this talk in the industry about open model, closed model, how long it should be, how should I even conduct my group calls, things like that. I just don't know. And I also don't know what to do with my current ones. And I hate to say I don't know what to do with them because they've been so loyal and we have a good time. We just had a call last night. So I'm having ongoing coaching calls for my academy that's still up and going while I build the other part of the course out. But a lot of them, they know how to stitch already and they're probably ready for my second segment of it that I'm going to start building after this first course is out. But when I open it up, it's like, do I just start over with them that already know what we're doing and add in the other ones? I guess I'm just so loyal to the ones that's been with me from day one. I don't want to leave them out.
Yeah. And I don't think you have to. So I'm not sure what you're planning to put into the course, but here's what I'm hearing and thinking. What if you have an intro course? Because it sounds like the things I've heard you say, most of the people who are already in the academy, they know what they're doing. They're ready for like the next thing, but it's not a great place for beginners. If they come in, they're like, wait, what? So it sounds like you're thinking of this introduction course. That's like, let me show you and guide you through how to get started. And then you could come and join us in, I'm calling it the membership right now. You're calling it the academy. So come in. I'm just going to call it the membership so that I don't confuse myself. Mm-hmm. So come and join us in the membership. And does that sound right? That the course that you're working on is more of like for beginners?
That's absolutely what it is. It's definitely geared towards beginners that don't know where to start.
That's great. Okay. And then your members who are already there, for now, I would just keep doing what you're doing. And it sounds like you're thinking of having a separate course that's like advanced, mm-hmm. 2.0 or whatever, which I think ultimately it's a lot, you know, to create a course. But I do think ultimately it will be really great for you to not have to rehash everything where you can say either like, oh, that's in course one or that's in course two. And then your membership could be more of a supplemental questions. But if they have like, how do I do that again? You can say, oh, remember, go look for that in course two or course one. And that way you're not having to repeat. Does that sound like,
yeah,
what you're envisioning?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense because that's what I want to have. The way I'm thinking is if I leave it as like an open course or open membership that's always enrolling, no matter where they are, they can refer back to that module. And no matter what call we're on, they can say, hey, I'm having trouble with module whatever, you know, and it's just a group setting. So I like that.
And another idea I have would be, for now, everyone who's in your membership can stay. But moving forward, I would say anyone who wants to join first needs to take 1.0 or 2.0, the course. That way they have a foundation and you can say, go back and look here. That's where you're going to find this, so that you're not wasting everybody's time on these calls of like reteaching what's already been taught. And I think it'd be a good idea. Eventually, I'm talking as if you have these two courses already made. But when you get there, I think it would be good to have calls for those who have taken 1.0 only. Like, here's a 1.0 call. That way, people who are advanced aren't like, this is boring, I don't need this. And the people who are taking the 2.0 calls, the more advanced calls, the beginners aren't going to come because they're going to get overwhelmed and be like, I don't know that I belong here. This is too advanced, you know, and you don't want to waste people's time. As far as open close, I do have thoughts and opinions on that, but ultimately, if I were you, I'd give it a try both ways and see what you think. My suggestion is I prefer having open and close and open, not having it open all the time. That is for multiple reasons. One, for your sake, if you are open all the time, you will continually get an influx of questions. And what about this? What about that? If it's open and closed, you will have a time where it's like, okay, people are coming. I'm onboarding. I'm helping them right now. And it's going to not be this constant thing that you're always addressing and helping. And you can be more focused, like, oh, here, you're new. You're joining right now. Let me be really hands-on and help you make sure you're navigating through this correctly. And even offer like weekly calls right at the beginning for however many, you know, modules you have. And just make sure that it's a really great experience for the people that are joining. Marketing is good for marketing, because if it's open all the time, how many times have you scrolled through Instagram or something and you see something for sale and you're like, I'll come back and get it. But the minute they're like, closes tomorrow, you're like, oh gosh, I got to decide, you know, and you're either going to buy it or you're not. So it helps people decide, like, am I really going to buy this thing or am I not? And then it helps with, well, that's more a membership, with retention, because if you can leave anytime, people are more likely to cancel and like, I'll just come back tomorrow if I want. But if they have to wait a few months, they're more likely to like, wait a minute, do I really want to cancel right now? I don't know that I want to do that. So that's more for a membership, but those are my thoughts on that.
Yeah. I guess what I keep forgetting is that I can open it and close it multiple times. So maybe even twice a year or something like that, because I want it to be 12 weeks around 12 weeks. And I think I just forgot that I can do it several times. I was thinking that it was only going to be once a year. It's open for 12 weeks. I'm like, that's not enough time. I meet way too many people that need help with embroidery to do it once a year. And then I want them to actually get through it and go to the next step. Because like I said, the ones that have been in it for a while, like I've had my academy open since probably, I think, 2019. And a lot of them, when I look at my roster, they've been with me since day one. So I want to get them to a point where it's time to leave the nest now. It's time for the next level, so that when I do offer something more, they're ready to go to that. So I like that idea.
I think it'd be fun too, something to think about, having some of those people who've been there since the beginning come and be a guest for those students who are new and talk about, I don't know what embroidery all entails, but maybe their journey or the community, and answer questions just to help them like, oh, that's cool. I want to be here with them too. Learn about, feel like a bigger part of the community, and give them an incentive to want to join that community when they're done. Mm-hmm. So I think that could be cool. But okay. And then 12 weeks is a long time. And I'm saying that because, one, you want to make sure that they're finishing. And if I sign up for a course that's 12 weeks, there's a bit of overwhelm, like, whoa, that's a lot. Can you shorten it? How much time is that in the 12 weeks? Talk to me about the 12 weeks.
So 12 weeks, I kind of, you know, I've been working with Shannon, Shannon Boyer for my course. So together we kind of went module through module and building on like very beginner project all the way up to, you know, the more complex projects. And then at the end of each one is going to have a, all right, I've showed you this. Now this is your assignment. Go forth and do it. So with it being 12 weeks, well, I say 12 weeks, 12, it might be more like 10 and then 2 weeks as a buffer, because the last 2 weeks is going to be, now you've learned all this, this is your next step, which will lead into the next part of what I'm building. But now you can make money off of the skills that you've learned.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
Maybe I should say it's 10 to 12 weeks. Write that down better.
Well, and if you're working with Shannon, I trust her judgment completely. If she's like, yep, that's good, I feel like you've got that stamp of approval, so we won't mess with that. So, and okay, so I actually didn't know that this was for people who want to start a business as embroiderers. Is that right?
I know this word, just embroiderer.
So it's for like a career type of a thing?
Yeah. So what I was doing, what wasn't working before, was I was telling people, okay, let me teach you how to embroider so you can start your business. But they were getting in and wanting to start like today. And it's like, no, we have to learn the fundamentals. You have to get confident in your stitch outs. You have to, there's just a lot of things that go into making your craft into your actual business. I mean, you know this all the time. This is what you talk about in your podcast. So I forgot where I was going with this whole sentence.
Oh, right. The course is for starting a career.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Because that's basically what I did. And I want to show everybody, hey, I did this. You can too, but it needed to have more structure around it. And then I want them to, even if you don't start a whole career with it, I want them to make some sort of money, whether it's a side hustle, whether you can quit your job. That was my big thing in the beginning. I did not understand how I would ever make enough money doing this to replace my income. And then lo and behold, 1 year I made enough. And ironically, it's almost Easter, but I made those Easter bunnies with the name on the ear and the year on the other ear. And I sold enough of those to take my daughter on a Disney cruise. And then the next year that I did the same thing, I sold enough to purchase a multi-needle from my single needle that I was stitching on. So, I mean, it's very possible, but I want them to have the right foundation.
Mm-hmm. Is it funny? The more you talk about it, I'm like, I want an embroidery machine. This sounds so cool.
Oh, yeah. It is. So cool.
I want to make a bunny with the name on it. Oh, that's
it
funny.
Is
so cool. So, well, okay. I like that it's super niche too. Like, you know who you're talking to and they know what they're coming to you for. So what other questions do you have about the course at this point?
So I guess maybe not necessarily about the course, but more so what do you do to make sure that you stay confident in the content that you're putting out and just staying on top of updating it? I mean, this is part of my problem. I get ahead of myself. Like, I haven't even completed this and I'm already thinking about updating it and, you know, ways to market it. Cause I do a 5-day stitch-a-thon, which is like my challenge, but you know, like last year and the year before, the word challenge became so just everyone was doing a challenge. So I wanted to name mine something else, which is the 5-day stitch-a-thon. And that's what I use to introduce people to the academy. So how do you just stay confident in the content that you're putting out and knowing that this is actually what someone needs to get to the next level?
Ooh, okay. Well, that's a good question. So the question is like, basically, in your course, how can you feel confident that when they take the course, it will get them the results? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here are my thoughts on that. And it's one that actually sometimes like pauses me in my tracks, because there's no way you can guarantee that anyone will have a certain kind of success, you know? And so I try to be very careful with my marketing. Like, I don't want to promise that, because some people are much more of a go-getter. Some people are much more naturally inclined with business, or they're much more naturally gifted with color or whatever, you know? So you just do the best you can. I think the biggest thing is getting feedback from your students, asking questions at the end of the course and during it. Don't change it during the course. You know, you don't want to like, oh, let me pivot here, but gather information, see what questions they have. And what's really pivotal is that membership that you have afterwards, because you will have ongoing questions and you will see like, man, a lot of people are really struggling with X, Y, Z. I need to touch on that more in the course. And as you're going through the course, there will be certain, every time I launch the course, there's like one module here or there where I'm like, man, I killed it. And then people watch it and they have so many questions. I'm like, that was not as clear as I thought it was. So I will go back and revisit. And so it's just, it's an ongoing kind of an open dialogue of listening to your students and getting feedback from them and watching their success, but also letting go of the reins a little bit. I have a feeling based on this question that you and I are similar in this way. I take on the responsibility of my students' success. And if they're not having success, it keeps me up at night. And I'm like, well, then can I even be charging? Like, what, you know, what am I doing? And we can't take that on. So maybe just talk to a friend, you know, and be like, what, you know, how, just talk it out, because you are providing something that is of value that will help some people. Will it help everyone? No, but you don't know until they take it. And it's up to them. But I guess just being honest with that open dialogue of like, who is this helping? Who isn't it helping? Getting your marketing more clear. You'll have a student come in and be like, man, that was not a good fit. And then you can tell people, this is not a good course for you if XYZ, you know? But yeah, it sounds, I mean, it's a sign of a good course creator that you care. Cause I've heard people before, like, you just want them to sign up. You don't care if they finish it or not. I'm like, oh no, no, you absolutely care. Like you, so.
Yeah. I want them to finish. I want them to rave about it. I want them to love it as much as I do. Like I get energized from it. It's so funny. After all of my lives that I do, after all of my, I can go onto my coaching call and be tired. And then an hour and a half, 2 hours, I'm looking at them and they're like fading. I'm like, oh, okay, you guys, I got to let you go. I know it's time to go to bed. I do it at night, because when I first started, I was still working full time and I wanted to make sure that the others that are working full time could still hop on the call. And I have a lot of people in central time zone, so it is a little later in the evening. So I heard you say that about having the value and everything, but pricing, did you price it after it was done? And I've had a conversation with Shannon about this, and then also with my copywriter that's helping me pricing it. I have followed a ton of coaching. It's funny because I've listened to a lot of your podcasts, and almost everyone that you have followed and studied, I'm like, oh yeah, I know all their stuff. I've read their books too. And then some of the other coaches that are under them have some strange pricing strategies. And I want it to make sense. I don't want to just put a whatever 97 behind a large number and price it, because I want it to be affordable, but also when you pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I am curious, when you say you've heard some weird pricing ideas, what's a weird one? I'm kind of curious.
Like, I kind of don't want to say it.
You don't have to say who. Yeah.
I've followed people that are like, you have a $10,000 course here. And I'm like, yeah, maybe, but I wasn't even confident enough in what I was doing back then to charge $10,000. And I mean, the most I charged a couple thousand without just telling prices. Cause sometimes I just feel so bad for putting prices on my things, but they're like, oh, you should charge $10,000 because they're going to go off and make so much money off of this. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want them to do. But at the same time, I would rather reach the masses than to have one or two people pay me $10,000. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, well, I'm with you too. For me, at least. Also, I mean, embroidery, quilting, similar, but different, but our markets are generally female. They're generally like working on the side. We're not going to medical school, you know, like we're, so could they earn that much? Yes. But will they? We're not sure. So I get where you're coming from. Like, and also with the promise, when they pay 10,000, then it's almost like upping the ante of like, well, then I'm promising you're going to earn X amount, which we have no idea how much they're going to earn. It depends so much on them. So I get that. My suggestion would be start at the lower end because you can always raise the price. But you don't want to lower that price because then people are like, what the, that sucks. I paid that much and now it's cheaper, you know? And it's great to let people know, like, I will be raising that price. So if they're on the fence, they're like, let's do it now so that I can get in before the price goes up. I mean, so a 12-week course and they're, I'm assuming before they start, they have to have some sort of embroidery machine. So that's, you know,
cost. Yeah. So you have to have some sort of embroidery machine. And this is, okay, so this is my thought process behind it. So the course itself would be a price. Not sure what it is quite yet. We've thrown around a couple numbers, but it will be a price. And then it will come with those 10 to 12 weeks of group coaching. And then after that, so this is, if I'm thinking if I have just the open model. After that, if you feel like you didn't get as far or as many questions, or you just want the group support, because it really is, I call it a safe stitch space. And it really is. We have such a good time. I really want them to stay on if they need to. So if they need more than those 12 weeks that come with the course, then you can sign on and have the monthly membership.
Yep.
To it.
Yep. I like that.
And that's going to be a monthly price. Mm-hmm. But that's why I have to decide if it's going to be open or closed. Or do I have to decide if it's open or closed that way? And I just keep, when it's closed, I keep coaching the ones that are there. And then when it's open, it's open.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like, well, and if you open your course, I don't know, every March and September or whatever, then after the 12 weeks, that membership would be open. I mean, it seems like a membership, they could join at any time if they're an alumni, right? Like for alumni, I don't know. I have to think through that. Now that I say that, I'm like, no, I don't like that idea.
Yeah.
When the course is over after the 12 weeks, if you want to join, now's the time to join. You've got 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever to join. If you don't join now, in 6 months, it'll open up again and you can join then. At the end of each 12-week course, you know, assuming you do it twice a year. Mm-hmm. But back to price. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking price range of what I'm offering around like 1,000-ish. I don't know. What were you thinking?
So that's kind of where I was thinking, like topping off at right now. And I'll even, it's funny because I can tell somebody else all day, like how to do what to do theirs. When it comes to mine, I get all, you know, standoffish. But I was thinking, yes, the price be, here goes that $997, and then that's the main price. But then it could be some sort of discount or rebate or something that lets them know that potentially one day it's going to be $997. It's a $997 or plus value, but this is the cost that you pay to get in now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's all pricing strategies and, you know, mental things that go on in the industry of business, but I just wasn't sure how to apply that to my business, my course.
So you were thinking the high end would be $997 and you would charge a little bit less right now and let them know the price will be going up, which you don't have to tell them what the price is going to go up to, by the way, because you don't need to decide and commit to that. You know, you might decide like, actually, it's worth way more than that. I would like to charge more than that. Or maybe I don't want to charge quite that much yet. You know, so I wouldn't say what the price is going up to, because like I said, you don't want to commit. But the idea of a rebate, tell me more. I've not heard of that idea.
So what I'm thinking is, you know how the value ladder, the price value ladder and all that stuff. Showing the value stack, because I've watched a ton of webinars.
We have watched the same ones. I'm like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So the value stack, and then the, if you join today, it's $997. But if you're fast action, whatever, then you can get it for, you know, six, whatever. But then if you need to do a payment plan, then it's going to be, so that's where I get that. That's where I feel like I get like icky. Because I don't want to start giving so many different numbers. Oh, if you join, and you have to do a payment plan for the 12 weeks, then it's going to be this, which is going to equal out to more. I don't think I want to do that. Like, I want the price to be the price, but I do want to show that this is the price. But since you, let's say after I do my Stitch-a-thon, since you joined on this Stitch-a-thon launch, I'm going to give you a $199 or one whatever $200 bonus for coming in this way, for hanging out with me for these 5 nights, because it's 5 nights a week. We have a lot of fun. It's the most fun you can have in a week. But for hanging out with me during this time, now you get this special deal for coming in and joining under this.
So, okay, one thing that I really like to add for our value stacking is, instead of lowering the price, add bonuses that don't cost you time. Because I've also done bonuses where I'm like, you get a one-on-one coaching call. And then later I'm like, oh my gosh, I have 100 coaching calls and this sucks. Oh, so, you know, and it's, I would rather have my money back than do that, you know? So if you have like your planner that you could give as a bonus, or I don't know the embroidery world, but free PDF or downloadable things, or templates for selling, or like all of my email templates for customers, you get that. I mean, just all the kind of business side things or embroidery things that are already pre-made that you might sell later, or that you don't offer normally, but they get those, that don't cost you any extra time, but it just adds value to them. I mean, maybe you could do like but I would do like a $100 off. Nothing, I don't know. I do think what you're offering, especially 12 weeks, I feel like I would, it's up to you. It is totally up to you. But I do want to talk about the payment plan thing. You're like, it feels kind of yuck. Here's the deal. As a business owner, having gone through this before, you're taking a chance financially, because sometimes their payments don't go through. Sometimes they cancel, or, I mean, you are also taking a gamble. Plus, if they pay right at first, you can invest that money and it grows in the bank, or not in the bank. It grows like stocks if you're investing it. If it sits in the bank, it's not really growing. But by them not paying you, you're not able to do that. So, I mean, it really is like it's not slimy. If you don't feel comfortable with it, you can. But if you just say it's going to, let's just say 500 to make the math easier, 1,000, it's 1,000, or it can still be 1,000, but you split it up in these payments, who's not going to split it up? And your risk goes up higher of them canceling, backing out, their credit card is canceled, fraud, whatever. So you're taking a risk financially. So there is, you want incentive to have them pay all at once for you as a business owner. And it's not slimy, like, I'm just trying to get a few more nickels and dimes out of them. It's because there is a reason for that, you know?
Okay. Makes sense. And I do it when I join other people's programs. I have done the split pay and I didn't think anything negatively of them. I don't know why. I feel like somebody will.
Well, have you heard, I mean, I will say sometimes I'll hear negative chatter or see what people write about other course creators. And it will get in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, that is slimy. I'm like, what the? No, I'm not being slimy, you know, but I have to really step back and evaluate, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Am I doing it to earn an extra buck? If so, then I wouldn't feel good about it. But like, these are my reasons. And if someone asks me about it, I'll tell you, like, it's not shady, you know? So have you seen some comments, or is it you just being your own toughest critic?
Both. Because like I said, I have followed a lot of different coaches in the industry, some that, you know, you get in and the content is outdated from the screen captures that they're doing. And then I've also been in some that it's like, oh my gosh, this is all they're charging. Like, I would have paid double for this. So it's both. And then I'm my own worst critic. Like, something new that's going on. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I am just creating my whole catastrophe.
Yep.
Laying in bed thinking like, oh my gosh, my heat is about to go out because it just clicked off twice in a row. Like, what? Like, what are you doing? So yeah, I'm my own worst critic, because I hate to think of myself as a perfectionist. because I know I'm not perfect. I mean, my whole motto is it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be pretty. That's actually what's on my shirt right now. But then I turn around and I still am holding myself to such a higher standard that sometimes it's not even possible.
Right. Yeah.
So I hope I answered that question. The answer is it's sometimes I'm the problem.
Right. Right. Well, and I mean, it is really scary putting yourself out there and collecting money from people, you know, and there are days where I'm like, man, I would way rather go work for someone else and have that responsibility be on them. But at the end of the day, that why is driving us, you know, like, no, I've made these connections. I've seen the lives that have changed. I've seen the joy that it's brought. And so for every 20 people who are positively affected, there may be one person who's like, man, I didn't love this. This didn't bring value. And for, you know, reasons of our DNA, we focus on the one, but surround yourself. I save, and I need to, I mean, this is a good reminder for me. I pull out and save cards people have sent and emails. And on a bad day, I pull them out. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is why I'm doing this. And so just trust that you have a good thing. You're ethical. The fact that you care, remind yourself that the fact that you care shows that you're not being dishonest or whatever, you know, your fears might be. You're doing the right thing. And you know, you're investing and making sure it's a really good value. So that right there tells me you're going to be just fine. Your course is going to be great. So yeah.
Thank you.
I did want to talk about social media. Yes. So there's an account that I wanted to share with you, and I took a screenshot of her name so that I can get it right. Allie, okay, I'm just going to spell it because I'm going to say it wrong. It's AlieJanDramezadiy.
Okay.
And for all of us, I'm like, could you not have named it something a little bit simpler?
Alejandra Meza? Alejandra Meza?
Yeah. I guess is her name. So Alejandra Meza DIY. She is a sewing tutorial person. She has 1.2 million followers.
Oh my gosh.
The reason I love these sewers, particularly who have like millions, you know, a million followers, because it shows me there are millions of people out there who are interested in what we're doing. But mm-hmm. also she's doing something really right because she has that many followers. So look at her account, and there was one of her posts that I wanted to show. Oh yeah, there's a post that I'll put in the show notes, but she is showing her sewing machine, and like, it's actually an embroider foot. And I went and bought it after watching. I don't even do embroidery. And I saw that and I was like, oh, I gotta buy that. So I'm gonna send you that. I'm going to like DM you the post and I'll put it in the show notes so that people can see what I'm talking about. But the point is, I would love to see in your feed more of actual embroidery. And there's one that I love of yours that I wanted to point out. It's the peaches. And you have that peaches song from Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
So even with that, I'm watching it. And at first I'm like, wait, is that like a pant leg? What is it that she's doing? How is she doing it? And then at the end, you show the finished cap, like it's a baseball cap. So I would start by showing the cap, show people and say, watch me make this. And that way they'll be like, ooh, wait, what? You're making that. And then when they're watching it, their brain knows what you're doing. So even if I were you, I would take the footage you have here and repost it. And just do exactly what I'm saying. Show that picture at the end with the words over it that say, watch me make this. And then show the video that you have. And then, just your feed should be full of embroidery and close-ups, time lapses, tutorials, hacks, tips, just that over and over. You should be the go-to person where anyone who does embroidery, they're like, oh, go check out her feed. It's so good. And then go and look at Alejandra Meza, however you say it, DIY. And see which of her reels are getting the most views and then tweak that to work for your industry. For example, she had a reel that I just actually repurposed and I posted it yesterday and it has 91.9 thousand views already. And so I just took her idea and used it for quilters. And so just start following other quilters, embroiderers, but I kind of like if they're not exactly the same, you know, if it's like they're in the same world of fabric and thread, but they're a little bit different, because then our audiences may not overlap as much. And I don't love when I follow three people, they're all posting the same reel on the same day. I'm like, oh, real creative guys, you know? But yeah, take her ideas and tweak them to embroidery. And then what I would love to see is if you have four free opt-ins, which actually tell me more, because you have an embroidery planner that's free, right?
So I and that's funny because I'm working on revamping my website and bringing it over to a new platform. And I do. So I have a low ticket offer that I'm about to launch. And I've had one for a while. It was a patch that it was the tutorials to show you how to make that specific patch. And they got the free embroidery file and everything. So I'm doing that again with a different patch. I don't have it here. It's somewhere. But they get the free, and I was running Facebook ads to it. It did really well. So it's a free low ticket off. Nope. It's a tripwire to where they get the patch. And then from there it's, well, wait, you don't want just the patch. What if you don't know exactly what supplies I use to do it best? So then they got the tripwire of get the tutorial for half price. And then we're also going to do a split test at the same time. See, I told you now I'm talking.
Yep, I know I like
all
the
business stuff. So we're also going to do a split test of self-liquidating ads. That's a self-liquidating offer that will pay for the ads. And it's going to be the patch, the process, and the playbook. So it's going to give you the free patch. You're going to get the video, and then you're also going to have the playbook, and that's going to be one total price for it. And I'll run Facebook ads. I just haven't decided if I'm going to run them at the same time or what I'm going to do. And that's going to be my freebie on my website. Like, I just want to have enough freebies to where you feel like you get into my ecosystem and you get to know me enough. So by the time you're ready to make that big purchase, you're like, okay, I am familiar with her. I'm used to her. I know what she offers. And then like I have a whole strategy, but it's all going to hinge on me getting this course and being confident in that. Because everything, when I decided that all roads will lead to the course, I haven't even named it yet. I keep calling it the course. So maybe your listeners can help me name an embroidery course for beginners. I don't know. But everything is going to lead to there. Even my planner is going to be a low ticket offer that comes with one of my offers. I don't know, but I have a whole strategy kind of mapped out on my whiteboard, but it's just a matter of bringing it all to life.
Yeah. Okay. I like this a lot. So then with social media, with Instagram, all of those posts should have a call to action that gives them this offer, like comment this and I'll send you the free patch or free, you know. Every single one of your posts should be calling them to get something. And that's why I like that you have a few multiple. You've got the free planner, you've got the free thing, so you can kind of rotate what you're doing. But kid you not, I'm like, I'm still offering this free gingham quilt. Surely everyone in my audience has it. No, every time I talk about it, more people are commenting. Like, you will never get everyone. So if you're like, everyone in my audience has this thing, they don't. So don't kid yourself. Like, they're going to be tired of seeing this. They won't. So just keep offering the free thing.
I also wonder, like, what if the free thing is a patch, and a patch is, it's a totally different thing in itself. But then what if my post that day is about applique? So would it make sense to show a post saying applique and then, oh, but if you want to learn how to make this patch, or a patch.
Yeah, I would have a different offer if you're doing applique.
So maybe like supplies for it. Like,
yep, a supply list.
Okay.
And I think that's a great thing for you to think about. Like, what are the different things I might be posting about? And what are, And even with Applique, eventually, because I'm in the same boat right now where I'm like coming up with freebies, and that in and of itself takes just time and energy. But eventually it'd be ideal to have at least two things for Applique that you could offer for free, a couple that you can rotate between, you know, so that you're catching different people with that offer. But yeah, so it sounds like things are going well. I mean, really, I'd love to see your audience grow so that more people are coming and joining and seeing this, and then just get that course going. And it sounds like you've got a lot of, you know, well-oiled things going on in the background that you're set up for success here.
Just getting it going.
I know, right?
Marrying them all together. In the past, I feel like I've started something and then like, oh, but no, I need to work on this. And then the first thing kind of falls off. So I just overwhelm myself with so much. And I haven't done a ship and stitch in a while because I really just want to focus on finishing what I've started. Because I can, what I used to do, anytime I just needed a little, you know, cash influx or something really quick, or there was a fun holiday coming up and I wanted to do a new tutorial to show people, you know, how to make it, I would just offer a ship and stitch. But that still takes a lot of time because instead of just posting online and saying, hey, sign up for this, I feel like I have to have a whole email sequence behind it. I feel like I have to have all of my everything automated before I even put it out there.
And well, not because what if you didn't, you know, that's been a big, like working with a life coach, like what if you didn't? I mean, obviously you want to be able to capture their email so that you could email them, but just what if you have one email that goes out and it's like, great, welcome, I'll be in touch, or, you know, like, but I do think it's smart right now because I love that you have the course. That's your all roads lead to the course. And so I love that you're like, let's just wait on the stitch, sit and stitch. Is that what it's called?
Ship and stitch.
Okay. Ship, I feel like I'm going to swear here. Ship and stitch.
No, so I have to be very careful. something else. Yeah.
So I could see the appeal to like, let's just get a quick influx or even just a morale boost, you know, like I'm going to feel real good if I do that. But just sit with that, like, I'm not going to do that right now. We're going to get this course finished. I know that the ship and stitch is going to work, but the biggest thing, once I have this course done, then we can do all the other things and lead everyone. But I'd really focus on just getting that done for now. Mm-hmm. What's your time horizon? When do you hope to have it finished by?
So Shannon and I, we just had this conversation the other day. For sure. Like, I wanted to have it done now. That was initially my plan. But then when I realized how much was going to go into planning it out, I want to have it complete and up and going by the middle to end of May.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I'm giving myself a lot of time there. But a part of me is like, am I even going to have it by then? Because I always do the Applique getaway in Texas every year. So I wanted to have it done so that's my one main in-person event that I do. I want to have them signing up for that in the Stitchathon. So last year I had everybody sign up for the Stitchathon there. And then at the end of Stitchathon, I pitched the previous academy. So I kind of want to do the same thing this time or just have them, you know, come straight into the academy, whichever one they choose.
Yeah. Well, could they, I mean, if it's not done, they could still sign up and just say it will be available in June or whatever.
Yeah. So right now I'm working on a wait list. I have my web developer and copywriter. She's awesome, but she's kind of switching everything over and doing I was just listening to someone's podcast the other day. Instead of calling it a wait list, like an interest form.
I like that.
And having them come in on an interest form so that when it is open, you know, you have already raised your hand and said, hey, I would like to be a part of this. And then I'm already going to know what you really want, what you expect coming in. So
interest form.
I plan on having that up and going within the next, the interest form or the website part of it within the next, by the middle of April.
Okay. Well, this is way sooner than I thought. When you said middle to end of, I thought you were going to say year, but no, we're talking like next month.
I gotta get this. Well, at least the website to just collect people.
Yeah,
is what I'm wanting by the end of or the middle of next month. But the actual course being up. I wish I had till the end of the year. I even told Shannon, I said, Shannon, I know my time is coming to an end with you, but you cannot leave me. Please tell me how much I need to just continue to work with you for accountability. I mean, she gave me 2 weeks off just recently, and I'm like, okay, I still have a week. And I'm like, nope.
I know.
So if we start working together, there's no telling when this thing is going to come out. So I'm gonna stay with you.
Very good. So I am curious, do you have someone who runs your ads for you?
No. Okay. These other programs that I've been in, I learned, so that's why I say all the programs I've been in, they weren't all bad. So I learned how to run my own Facebook ads with two different courses. One of them I learned in the ads were up. It led to a webinar. I just followed the video step by step, but I didn't know what everything meant. The next time I took someone else's course, it was so much more detail that I had the previous experience. By the time I took hers, then I started to understand how to select my audience, what to do, how to narrow it down. The first one taught me how to retarget, but then the second time I ran ads, I didn't retarget, but I still had a good, I think my cost per lead was at the lowest, it was like 12 cents one time.
Whoa.
I know. I was like, what in the world? I don't know what awesome. I did and how I selected that audience, but it was doing really well.
That is cool. And then you have a copywriter and a web developer.
So my copywriter, she was playing around with my current platform, which is an all-in-one platform. I switched from, having Wix and ClickFunnels and all that stuff. And the email ones that I had, I switched over to High Level, and that's a all-in-one platform, but I just could not figure it out. I couldn't get my offers down enough to figure it out. So she's just great that she knows strategy really well. And when she was writing my copy, I gave her access to my High Level, and she went and played around in there. And the next thing you know, she's like, I hope you're okay with it. I just decided to just build your funnel for you. I'm like, what? Oh my gosh. So she's built my funnel. She actually rebuilt my website landing page over there. And my course is going to be housed in there. So I lucked up and I'm really blessed with her. Like, I want to give her the biggest hug ever.
You know, my listeners are going to be DMing you and emailing, what's her name? Is she like taking on more clients?
I think she is, but I'm going to confirm.
Okay.
And if I can, I'll give you her information so you can put it in there.
Okay. And if it's not in the show notes, don't reach out and bother Alexis about this because she can't share.
I'm pretty sure she can. I'm pretty sure if she doesn't have the capacity to take people on, there's another program that I found her through that they could benefit from. The problem is, and this is where I was running into the problem. I was following so many business coaches that did not understand the creative world. So when I found you, I was like, she gets the business side, but she also understands the creative side of it. Like you were saying, a lot of our followers, they aren't going to be the big corporate. I mean, some of them are, but just to have these bundles and buckets of cash, we're DIYers. We're always looking for an easy way to do something or recreate it. So I can't just get out there and say, this is the only way you're going to learn. This is the only way. No, that's how we're wired.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to work that way. So to find someone that actually understands the mind of creatives like ourselves, it was refreshing. I think I binged all of your podcasts in 2 months.
Oh, well, that's very flattering. I'm glad it's helpful. And I'm curious, the Facebook ad course that you took that was helpful. What was that one?
So that one was, what is her name?
And if you don't remember, you can share and I'll put it in the show notes too.
Your listeners are going to be like, she doesn't remember any of this thing. Oh, what was it?
That's a lot. And I'm putting you on the spot. So don't worry.
I know for sure. As soon as we're done, I can share that with you for sure.
Okay.
The only thing is, I don't know if her program is still up and going, but let me write that down to remember it.
That would just be the luck of it. Everyone's like, ooh, sign me up. Oh, it's not offered anymore.
Yeah. So I took hers. I think she's doing a low ticket offer. Stephanie. Her name is Stephanie Joanne.
Okay.
She's actually doing a low ticket offer training. So she switched course. She switched directions from what she was doing, I guess, during the pandemic, and started teaching people how to run like a low ticket offer. And really, that's where I learned a lot of the self-liquidating ads, and I got a good understanding. And then when I heard some of the big, big business coaches talking about it, I could really get in and dive in and understand the why behind it.
Hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, but I'll give you all the information, and I'll confirm with that's who I found my copywriter through. I will confirm with her to make sure that I can give her information out. I'm sure she will, though.
Because even me, I'm like salivating. I don't even have anything to work on right now, but I'm like, I want her. Like,
she's awesome. Like, a part of me is like, no, I don't want to.
I know, right? I get it.
It's like, no, Alexis, you have to. You know, everybody's not going to be ready at this point. And if you hadn't given out a lot of your resources, I wouldn't be as far along as I am now.
Well, it's exciting.
Just in these last couple months.
Yeah.
I've binged on it for a while, but I got benefit from the bookkeeper,
mm-hmm.
obviously Shannon, a couple of other resources that you shared. So
yeah, awesome.
We have to give back.
Yeah, exactly. So for our listeners who want to find you and follow you, where's the best place?
So everywhere, every platform, it's really easy. It's So Sweet Academy, and it's SEW. A lot of people just type in SO. I probably should buy that domain, the SO, so that it'll still
be true.
Me.
Point it over, yeah.
But it's So Sweet Academy on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, website, awesome. SoSweetAcademy.com.
Very cool. Well, Alexis, thank you so much for being here, for applying for the podcast coaching call. This has just been super fun to chat business with you.
Likewise, I had so much fun.
Alexis, my goodness, what a fun conversation. Whew, there's so much to unpack there and for listeners to really sit with and think about. And I am so excited for all the things that you have in store. My goodness. I mean, like I said, it makes me want to learn to embroider myself. So thank you so much, Alexis. And if you haven't seen what she does, be sure to go follow her on Instagram and join me right here next Friday, TGIF. I will have a brand new episode for you. Until then, have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful week.